morning. Welcome. I'm Debbie Quain, and this is our live monthly wedding planner chat for the weddingsforaliving.com website. I hope you can hear me. I can see several of you in the chat room. Good morning, and it's 10 a.m. Eastern here, so I'm not sure where you are in the world, but if you would be kind enough, if you're in the chat room, to just type where you're located, that would be wonderful. Just your location, state, or country, if you're not here in the United States. I'm always interested to know where listeners are located. Good morning, Marissa, first out the gate, Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Atlanta, good morning, Nancy. Chicago, Illinois. Veronica, the retro, oh, my Adidas. Is that what you're talking about? Joanne's in the UK. Welcome. Good afternoon to you. Athena, Veronica. Oh, sorry. Clarissa's, okay. All right. I'm reading. Daniel in Massachusetts. Good morning, Daniel. Oh, it's so nice to see gentlemen here. You know, the few times when we've had gentlemen join us, their names have been Daniel. Well, I shouldn't say that way. You're just the second Daniel, but Daniel seems to be a popular name. Latoya, Chicago, good morning. Thank you so much for being here. So for those of you on the phone lines, the live chat room is at confettilive.com or weddingsforaliving.com/live. So this is our monthly wedding planner chat where instead of me focusing on a specific topic, it's a great opportunity for you to ask any questions you have or share your feedback about being a wedding planner, running a wedding planning business. I don't profess to know all the answers, but I will do my best. Confetti has been around for several years. It started off as a bi-weekly show, then went weekly, and then went back to monthly for the live chat so that we could just with the format to do your Q&A. But I'd also like to add that if you're interested, if you're a new wedding planner and you need help, I have created, and I've said this before and didn't stick to it, sorry, but I have created some new topics that I'll be sharing on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on the live page. And we'll talk about different aspects of planning weddings. And really, I'm following the path of etiquette. Because etiquette, really, once you understand wedding etiquette, you pretty much understand wedding planning. Things have changed so much with weddings in the last few years. You know, once upon a time, it was just a man and a woman. That's no longer always the case. Family dynamics have changed. Technology has changed all of that. So with all of these changes with weddings, it can become confusing. And if you are a wedding planner professional, people will look to you for that information. So my hope is to share that with you, touching on different areas of etiquette, but that will also help you with the planning process. Because I see a lot of us moving forward with marketing, but I'm being a stickler. You've got to know what the deal is with weddings. Now, that doesn't mean your clients have to follow that instruction to the T. It just means that you are the person to say, well, this is, you know, traditionally how it's done, or this is a good idea, this is one way to do it, and so forth. So if you check out weddingsforaliving.com on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., and just by saying so to you, that means I will be here. I'm hesitant to send out the email reminders because I don't want to overwhelm you, but I might do that. Definitely if you want to get a text, because I'm still on the fence as to whether that's considered confetti or that's considered a different show or if it's just a segment off confetti. But if you do text the word confetti, C-O-N-F-E-T-T-I, to the number 71441, that's confetti, C-O-N-F-E-T-T-I to 71441, I'll send a text to that list. And that works if you're in the United States and Canada. Okay. Let's see. Any others who haven't posted where they're located? If you're just joining, Athena's in Dallas. Good morning. Brand new me. Oh, I love that handle. Good morning. I love that handle. Brand new me. Super. So I have a few questions here that I want to go through and, some things I just wanted to follow up on. I've been doing these weekly wrap-ups, which is not And why I'm calling them weekly wrap-ups, because they're more bi-weekly than they are weekly. Because I, you know, if there's nothing for me to wrap, is it a wrap-up or a roundup? Anyway, either way, I'm doing the bi-weekly information, kind of, sort of, because it wasn't really bi-weekly, but I'm going to stick to that, too. If it's just information that I've come across that I think you'll find helpful. And the pilot episode that I did was based on an article that was written in the Huffington Post by Sandy Malone, who says wedding planner certification is a huge waste of money. So I asked for feedback and got lots of feedback. Thank you so much, and still getting some comments. So if you check out weddingsforliving.com and look under weekly zero, I think it is. Oh, what a terrible URL. What made me do that? But you'll see the original, the wrap up with the link to the video and the comments that go along with it. Okay. And if you'd like to call in, Athena's saying she's having problems. The number to call is 213-992-4358. And you can listen to the audio there. Hey, that number, by the way, has some confetti episodes on rotation, some archived episodes. So you can listen to that, if ever you want to. Okay. I don't think it was the last time we did the live broadcast. We were talking about, some of you shared, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the feed. I'm looking at the chat. I'm trying to read my notes and I just can't focus. Sorry. So Clarissa, who I believe is here with us today. Good morning, darling Clarissa, who announced that she was hosting an event, Shop, Taste, Dance. And Clarissa followed up with an email and she said, it was a night of networking with wedding professionals, wedding planners, vendors, wedding professionals, and guests. There were authentic Spanish tapas. Am I saying that right? Tapas? Drinks, live band, and complimentary salsa dance lessons. I love, you know, I met this guy. Okay, let me not go there. Yeah, whatever. I met this guy and, no, I'm not going there. Okay. So, and she continued to say, I hired a videographer and photographer to cover the event. Good girl. She had a lot of support via Instagram. That's interesting. A lot of vendors and wedding professionals from all over the U.S. contributed to my swag bag, and they paid $10 each. Good girl, Clarissa. Oh, and when I say good girl, I hope you don't think I'm being condescending. I'm just happy and excited for you. She goes on to say that some donated door prizes. A organizing company called 31 presented their materials and products. It was a lot of fun. Oh, Clarissa, I love you. That was one. I wish I was there. It looks like I missed a great event. A round of applause to you, Clarissa, for the mere fact that you stepped out and you did this. So many of us talk about doing things. And when you just step out and do something, it just sets you apart. I know a lot of us fear that it's not going to be the success that we want it to be, or that it's not going to, you know, for whatever reason, these are all learning lessons. And if you have raised your hand to say, I'm running my own business, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and do some things that are unfamiliar to you. Now, I'm not saying this was unfamiliar or out of Clarissa's comfort zone, but she did it. She did it. And for that, she deserves major, major kudos. One thing I really like, Clarissa, that you did, you said she's in the chat, she said she stepped out on faith. One thing that I really like that Clarissa did is she documented the event. So video, photos, very, very important, because you want to create that buzz. Even if your event doesn't have the turnout that you want to, you can you should still have videos and photo to capture that. Because, you know, if you're just capturing someone, I don't know, getting their nails done, you don't know whether there's 20 people in the room, if there were 50 people in the room, but you're capturing that. Clarissa actually, you know, sat in front of the camera, introduced herself, and then she did highlights. You notice that some of the video isn't just video. It's sort of like shots, just pictures that are sort of set up in a montage format. So very exciting. And I'm really, really happy that you did that, Clarissa. I hope you're doing more events like that. And that just sort of sets us apart. And each one is going to be better than the one before. So it's just a learning lesson. And again, I keep saying this, getting out of your comfort zone, but that is truly where the magic happens. And it's almost like I found, because I struggle with this too, I found that when I just decide, heck, I'm doing it and I claim it, I don't know what it is, but things begin to fall in place. Once you stand out and say, okay, I'm doing this, it becomes clearer. And I'm not verbalizing this very well, but once you own it and say, I'm doing something that's unfamiliar to you, things begin to happen. Things begin to fall in place. I don't know, you know, if that's the higher being. I don't know if it's God, whether you believe in God or not, but something directs you into that path and you just claim ownership and it becomes yours. So Clarissa, good for you. And, I hope you continue with more. One suggestion is when you host an event like that, it's always good to have another one scheduled so that you can say, I'm glad you're here. The next event is on such and such a date. So you're piggybacking off of the excitement and energy that's going on with the existing event. And then for those people that said they were going to show but didn't show, you can say, sorry, you missed a great event. Show them the video, show them the pictures. Hey, our next event is on such and such a date. Hope to see you there. So just keep the momentum going. So good for you. Nancy, I know, who's in the chat room. Good morning again, Nance. Hosted an event and I responded to your post in the Wedding Business Guide forum. And Nance, I know you shared some feedback about your event. I'd love to see if you have pictures and video. And it's just good because, you know, I kind of said I didn't get to go to Clarissa's event. She talked about it. So she created excitement about it. She shared it with us. And then she had the event and then she followed up and she has the video and photos to prove it. So good for you. Keep doing what you're doing. And what that does, you know, weddings is only a small window of time, really, when someone's getting married, when you think about it, because a lot of businesses, they talk about repeat business. But for us, usually there isn't repeat business. But if you position yourself as the expert, the wedding person in your area, even though someone's wedding is over, they'll remember you. Someone else, we all know someone who's getting married or know someone who knows someone who's getting married. And you want them to say, oh, yeah, there's this woman who's a wedding planner and hosts these events. Check out her website. So whether there's an event coming up or not, you're the person that's being recommended. And when somebody that you know recommends a business or an individual to you, you're what's known as a warm lead. So they've done some of that selling for you. By the time they come to you, because it's based on a recommendation, it's almost like you're halfway there. It's not like you're having to start from scratch. Someone has done the heavy lifting for you. And that's what these events are about. Yes, the idea is also to get some leads, but we all buy at different times. And you'll be surprised. A lot of people that come to those events may not even be planning a wedding. They may have already, you know, already be married, or it's so far from the future, haven't been proposed or anything like that, but they want to be in that environment. And you want to encourage that. You want to encourage people to come. Also, it's good to send out a press release. So by doing an online press release, that gives you some SEO juice. So the search engines will pick that up. But a lot of different media outlets will catch on to that. And local media would really want to see a part of that. Just based on what I shared with you for Clarissa. Clarissa, you're the star pupil today, right? You know, that would be a great story, a local story. On the local news with regard to weddings. And it's not, I'm a wedding planner, come see what I'm doing. It's, I'm hosting an event for someone, anyone in the area who's getting married or, you know, for whatever the reason may be, please check it. You know, come see it or, you know, come visit, come find out, learn more about it. So it's a really, really great way to get going. Okay. All right. And Wedding Business Guide, which is the website that I created to help you get started with a day of wedding planning business. There is a bridal happy hour guide, which kind of gives you some guidance as to how to do an event like that. I called it a draft because it was low on the social media stuff. Me, the social media kingpin, not. But I need to update that with some information, but the principles are pretty much there, you know, what things to, and it's not necessarily do this, do this, do this, but you can follow it that way. But just to give you an idea of which direction to go, because when you're hosting an event, sometimes you just don't know where to begin. And that's included in the wedding business guide. Okay. All right. So one of the questions that I got, and feel free to post them in the chat. Let me just double check what's going on there. Okay, so Nancy says that you put at, so Nancy is the other individual I know who hosted some hosted events, and she says she put ads on wedding sites here locally, but a lot of the attendees found my event on Eventbrite. Okay, Eventbrite, excuse me. All right, interesting. And, you know, if you're kind of hesitant to do, the thing is with having an event, right, you almost need, you need to have a list. You've got to have people on your list so that when you, so like, you know, for Weddings for Living, there's a list. When the show's coming up or something's going up, I send in a I sent an announcement to the list. And that list, you know, not everyone opens the email, not everyone even, you know, not everyone will come to the event, but it's not about that. It's just being sort of like top of mind, but that's how it is for an event. You may invite 100 people, 50 people may say they'll come, and only 20 people will show up. So, of course, the higher, the larger the list in that instance, the higher number of potential people that will show up. Make sense? Okay. All right. Okay, so one of the questions, and I've got the chat room up on the screen there. It's kind of my way to see what's going on. Aloma Jackson, she says, I'm a planner and she has her certification. So she was responding to the wrap-up video that I did. She said her biggest problem is just not knowing how to bring in more business, or should I say getting started. Any feedback would be helpful. Aloma, I get your question. It's a little difficult for me to answer that without knowing where you are. You say, bring in more business, or should I say getting started? Those are actually two different places to be, because if you're not sure about how to get started, bringing in business isn't your major concern. I get that a lot. People want to know how to get clients, but if you're in the starting up phase, you've got some operational things to take care of. So website, for, you know, so your business can be, then that kind of angles on marketing. So let me backtrack a bit. Making sure you have a good grasp of weddings. How many weddings have you actually been involved in? How many events have you been a part of where you're either the lead coordinator or helping someone coordinate? And then, you know, what are your systems? How are you, do you have your contract? Do you have the form that someone will fill out when they first become a client? Do you know, have you figured out the system of how you're going to keep all your information together? Have you figured out how you're going to take phone calls? If you're working a 9-to-5, have you figured out how you're going to deal with phone calls while you're at work? How are you going to, what's your schedule for meeting vendors? Because that's a key part of what you do. And when you start taking care of those operational things, it's funny, just doing some of those tasks, people are going to inquire about your business. Talking to vendors, meaning the other wedding professionals in your area who provide wedding services, photographer, caterer, cake person, limo, venues, event designers, if you're not doing design, florists, those people, you've got to go out and meet them so that you can find out who the what the story is, what the deal is with weddings in your area. And by doing that, they also then want to know who you are and what you're doing. If they believe that you know what you're doing, then they're going to start sending clients your way. That's a major part of getting the word out about your business. So you can't just create a website, get your pricing together. And pricing is a big thing too. I see many wedding planners, I keep saying this, but it's a lot of the same things that come through, are ready to go, but they haven't figured out pricing. When someone comes to you, whether it's via email, in person, on the phone, and says, how much do you charge? Are you prepared? Are you ready with a response? If your answer is no, finding out about how to get more clients is the least of your worries. It really is, because you're looking for clients, but you're not really ready to receive them. So you've got, this is a business. And the thing with running a wedding business, particularly, a lot of people are into the planning and the creativity. But if you've decided to run a business, you've got to put on the entrepreneur's hat and realize there's some things you've got to step back and really figure out. And I see a lot of us jumping into, I need customers, I need clients. Are you ready for that? Have you figured out what you will do if your boss determines we've got a major project and everyone's working late next week and you've scheduled an appointment? Have you figured out what your plan B is? Have you figured out who's going to help you on the wedding day? Do they know as much as you do about weddings? The wedding rehearsal is likely to be on a Friday evening. Do you have that time? Are you available to prepare for that wedding rehearsal and to be there on the wedding for the wedding rehearsal? These are the things you've got to think about. So when someone says to me, I need help with getting started and bringing in more business, I'm going to say, forget bringing in more business right now. What is the system you have in place for your business? And a lot of wedding planners miss the mark. So if you think about it, if you just take some time and come up with how you're going to do your operations, how your things are going to run in your business, you're miles ahead of other wedding planners. And people will notice that. Your potential clients, vendors will know that because you're very organized. When they ask you for something, it's not taking you forever to come up with something because you don't have it prepared. If you go through the process of, okay, when someone contacts me, they're going to do this, I'm going to do this, and then my next step is this. I'm a firm believer of always knowing what the next step is. It just makes life so much easier when you're running this wedding business. Because if you know weddings, you've got a good start. The next part is, how do I run my business? Okay? Let's see. Okay, you guys are talking about other things in the chat room. I'm going to keep going. So, Aloma, I don't know if that helps. So, you know, if you are asking questions about how to find business, how to find more clients, it would be really helpful for me to know, you know, what type of wedding planning you're doing, what stage are you in with regard to your business, meaning do you have a website, do you have systems in place? Do you have experience with planning weddings? What's your specialty if you have one? Because once those things are there, a lot of times you may not even need me to give a lot of the answers to you. You may already have figured them out. I always come back to the specialty thing because when you have a specialty, you limit yourself to who you have to market to. Don't think that because you have a specialty, that means you can't plan any other wedding, any other types of wedding. Other than what's part of the specialty. It just means that that's where you market, that's where you focus, that's what you're known for. But if someone comes along and there's a fit, sure, you can plan that wedding, but you're not promoting that you do everything. You're just promoting, this is my high, this is what I do, special. Because you could have a specialist doctor. I know, not me particularly, but I know I have a family member who goes to a specialist, but she also uses that specialist as her primary care physician. His specialty is one thing, but she uses him as her primary care doctor. So he's not promoting himself as such, but whatever that working relationship is for them, it works out. So it's the same kind of principle, if you can relate to that, with regard to being a specialist. Okay, so Aloma, let me know some more information about where you are in your business, and I'd love to help you, and maybe we can brainstorm together. Let's see, another other question I have is from... Oh, it's a comment from, why did I print this so small? You know, Debbie, I'm just getting old. Naya Radzo. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. I know I have not, okay, sorry, I'm not focused here. My mouth is killing me. Oh, she's saying with regard to the wedding planner certification, she says, I've noticed job adverts in our local press for events coordinators, even at government ministry level. Therefore, one would need something distinct and a certificate would come in handy. So what she's referring to is the wedding planner certification thing. She's right. If you're thinking that you want to run a wedding planning business, as many of us are, wedding planner certification isn't required. It will surely help you, but it shouldn't stop you from moving forward. If you're looking for a job in the industry, like maybe you want to work at Disney as a wedding planner or on a cruise ship or for a local hotel or a banquet facility, there are a number of places where, you know, like Marriott has their own certified wedding planner training within their company. It's internal. But a lot of times when you're applying for those positions, when the recruiter can see that you have wedding planner certification, it lets them know that you're serious about and committed to this industry. You've paid for it and you know, to be certified, or you're in the process of being certified. That's a big plus for, for a career in weddings, meaning not running your own business. And sometimes it's not even labeled as a wedding planning job. I know when I had a job, a part-time job at Bloomingdale and in their gift registry, but you're working with clients who are getting married, but it's a lot heavier on sales, but you do get to learn a lot about etiquette. And even if you don't, having the knowledge about wedding etiquette can help with your clients. So those things add points. So certification has its pluses and minuses. Here's the thing, and I'm talked about it and I want to keep talking about it, but the thing with wedding planner certification is that some of those courses are like in, close to the $1,000 mark. You're taking a wedding planner certification course and you're spending, let's say, $1,000. I think if that's the last $1,000 and you need to spend it to get your business started, you may disagree with me. I'm not taking the $1,000 and applying that to wedding planner certification. I may take some of that to maybe get some information, go online, maybe take an online course if it's available for a little less. And actually, everything you need to learn about wedding planning, not running a business, but wedding planning, you can learn on your own. You really can. Now, if you need to ramp it up and do that faster, then maybe wedding planning certification is the way you want to go. But I would take that money and use that for, creating a website that looks fantastic and working on something, maybe some of the software that I might need to help me get my planning in order, or if I need to get, there are some accounts that you might need. Like if you're creating an email list, which is really important, that has a monthly fee attached, I would, siphon off some of that money for that and just take some time to build the brand for my business while I'm still learning, going out to meet vendors, using that money to sign up to be part of an association. Perhaps if there is a seminar coming up, I would use that money for that. So that's me, Debbie. That's how I would use that money. If that was my $1,000 and that was my budget for getting started with the wedding business, I wouldn't take that $1,000 and assign it for wedding planner certification. Now, if you've got more disposable income and that's the way you want to go, then that's fine. The thing is, I created weddings for a living because the students that I was teaching when I was a Wedding Planner Institute instructor didn't know what to do after certification. They did not know what to do. They had all this knowledge and wasn't sure where to apply it. I have to tread carefully as I say this. That doesn't sound like a good investment to me. And I'm not knocking Wedding Planning Institute, but you have to understand why you're taking a course. If you think it's going to be the magic key and ta-da, I'm ready to run my business, a lot of times that's not the case. You have to sort of take the next step. Step out of your comfort zone and see what's involved in running a wedding planning business. Go and talk to someone at the SBA, Small Business Administration, to get some information as to what you need to do. Take some of that money and go talk to a lawyer so that he or she can draft you a boilerplate contract that is airtight for your area. Those are the things that I would spend my money on for running a wedding planning business. So I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but it's kind of a dicey area. And I think a lot of people think it's a magic pill and it's going to take them where they need to go with wedding planning. And a lot of times it's not the case. And I'll say this as my last point. A lot of the celebrity wedding planners that you're seeing out there, the ones that are front and center, don't have wedding planner certification. Because a lot of your clients just want to know that you're competent. They want references, perhaps. They want to see proof of the weddings that you've planned. And if you can provide that information, and somebody can vouch for you, whether it's a client or a vendor, that you know what you're doing, wedding planner certification isn't so much of a priority. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying people don't pay attention to that. They do. But if you're in a situation where you don't know how to spend those funds that you need to get your business off the ground, wedding planner certification may not be the answer. Okay? All right. Let's see. Looks like we actually are going to stick to the 45-minute rule today. Nancy says she wonders if David Tutera is certified. He's not. I know that for sure he isn't. David Tutera got his start, I think he was in New York. I forgot whose wedding. Listen, it just takes you to, if you are in the right place at the right time, and a celebrity or someone who's well-known or someone who has clout gets you to help them, you help them with their event, whether you're labeled as the wedding planner or someone who's just there. That could just be the catalyst. If you pull that event together relatively well and they sing your praises, because people in those circles were all together. I know this just being here in DC. It's very clicky. So, you know, one of the higher end home weddings I did last year, I noticed the same person that's doing the landscaping, the person that does the landscaping for the client, the guy I was doing the event for, almost all of the neighbors use the same landscaping person. The person that services his pool, almost all the neighbors that have the pool all use the same person. A lot of the events that I've received leads on after that event are a lot of the people that were at the event or the neighbors that saw the valet park and knew something was going on. That's how it works. And overnight, if you plan celebrity or someone who's well-known, a well-known person's event, you're now elevated to celebrity status. What makes me different from you is that I just happened to plan an event for someone who told the world about it or told their friends about it and had some clout. That's all. It has little to do with skills at that point. It has very little to do with certification at that point. So I'm saying, I think it's always there, and associations like ABC, Association of Bridal Consultants, tout wedding planning certification. They tell brides to ask for that. But a lot of times now you're seeing that it's not necessarily about what you're certified to do. It's what can you do? Prove to me what you've done. And if you can demonstrate that you've done something successfully, certification kind of goes out the window at that point. So I hope, you know, I don't know if that makes sense to you. I don't know if you can relate to that, but a lot of these, you know, I've told you before, I spoke to Preston Bailey, and a lot of, when I was living in New York and I was confused and it's like, I don't, you know, I'm a wedding planner, I'm a black woman, no one's going to hire me. I shouldn't say no one. You know, clients who are not black are not going to hire me. And I was debating about that. I don't look polished enough. And he said, you know, you're making an issue out of something that's not even your concern. That's their issue, not yours. If you can demonstrate that you know what you're talking about, which is why having a specialty will help, which is why setting yourself apart as an expert like Clarissa did with her event, people pay attention to that. They may not be ready to utilize your services at that time, but when they see that you've gone out on a limb and done something like that, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I want to talk to her. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. I got a speeding ticket a few years ago. I wasn't very pleasant to the guy. But the guy who stopped me was someone I remember, because when I came here from the United Kingdom, I had to do a year of high school. He was an idiot from high school. And I said to him, you know, they're letting idiots into the police academy, which is probably why I got the ticket. But it just, what I'm saying is, they're just everyday people like me and you, you know, another idiot like me, I should say. It's just, it's how people perceive you, which is why, and I'm kind of going on a tyrant, I'm continuing on way longer than I should be about this, which is why you don't want to hang on the coattails of someone else you're seeing or worry that, oh my gosh, this person's doing this and he's doing that. Don't worry about that. You don't know what the inside story is. They're just like you. They may have had, maybe they just spent some more time with vendors, or they happen to luck out, you know, somebody that they know knew someone and planned their event. All of a sudden, they're the it person. That's how life is. So, you know, you want it to be fair and systematic. It's not. It's not. Sometimes you have to make your lucky breaks. You get what I mean? And it's no different with wedding planning. You can't sit behind the computer and think that that's going to do it. You got to get out there. People have to know about you. You've got to take some risks and do something that's a little unfamiliar to you. That's really all it is. I also met with Diane Valentine when I was living in New York. We sat down and we talked. At the restaurant, and she said it was the wedding that she planned for Layla Rashan, who's the I don't know if you know who that is, who's just she was one woman from Waiting to Exhale. She was the one that found out she was pregnant. You know the one I'm talking about. So she planned her wedding overnight. She was a celebrity wedding planner. That was what took her to that level. Do you see? So that's how life is. It doesn't always work the way we want it to, but the more that you're out there, the more that you're talking to people, the more vendors you meet, you're increasing the likelihood that someone's going to connect you with someone who needs the services that you're providing, whether they're the everyday bride and groom or whether they're a local celebrity or a national celebrity or someone that everyone knows, you know, across the globe. Okay. All right. Let's see. Looking at these questions here in the chat. Nicole says, here's a different question. I live in a smaller area. There's only one other wedding planner. We're friends. This area is very cliquey. There's a trio of girls here, floral, photography, and salon, that are pretty established. They dislike wedding planners and bash myself and the other wedding planner on a regular basis to the point of lying through, though neither of them have actually worked with us. How would you deal? Oh, mean girls. Nicole, good morning. Good to see you. That's, how much research did you do before setting up your business? Did you know that beforehand? And when you say, so floral photography and salon, do they have the lock on like weddings, or are they just people that sort of like, when you say they bash you on a regular basis, do you mean they on social media and things like that? Just wanted to find out what you thought about that. Oh, let's see what Athena says. Oh, I'm reading too many things. Too many things I'm reading at a time. Wedding mainly. So they go underground and talk to other vendors. See, you know, here's the thing in life, and maybe it's just me. You sort of decide, okay, I'm going to address this. I just tend to just keep moving. And, you know, I said this last night to an event I went to. Hurt people hurt people. They really do. There's usually some underlying issue which has nothing to do with you. It's about that person. But, I mean, the reality is it can be very hurtful. But as long as they're not affecting, you know, affecting me as an individual, my family, or interfering with my money. I have a tendency to let that go. You kind of have to step that up and say, because if someone's being clicky, but you're the person that's hosting events, you're the person that's constantly writing about weddings in your area, and people are responding, you're getting comments, you're getting feedback, then it's sort of like the spotlight is now on you. And I know that may not sound very Sunday schoolish, but you can't focus on stuff like that. You're saying you're living in a small area. Are you in an area that really could have dealt with another wedding planner? Because there has to be a need too. I know sometimes we just want to get into a business because we have a passion and we feel we have something that we can provide to others. But for a business, there also has to be a need. So are people in your area hiring wedding planners? You're saying that they're bashing wedding planners. Do people routinely hire wedding planners? Is there room for that? Is there a budget for that? Or is it so small that everyone handles it themselves? Because if that's the case, then it may have less to do, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, with them, and it may be about the area. So, you know, it's tough. When you decide to set up a business, you have to do your research, and it cannot just be guesswork. And it always comes back to me for talking to vendors, people who are in the business. People who are in the business will tell you what's going on in your area when it comes to weddings, and find out from them, what's the deal? How much are people spending? What's the trend? What are they asking for that they can't seem to find? What seems to be a problem that's a common thread with all of the engaged couples? If you can find out what that problem is and figure out a way to solve that problem, you're going to do very well. But if you just decide I'm setting up my business, but really there is no need for that business, people aren't asking for that or willing to pay for that, there's a problem. And then people like the girls that you're talking about, the women about, you know, have a little bit of ammunition there. But you have to sort of go beyond that. And the thing is now, you know, in 2014, things have changed so much. It's not local is what we do for weddings, but you could actually be on a national level. If you have a specialty, like vintage weddings is your thing, you can still focus on vintage weddings, whether it's through a blog, website, you know, you're doing a podcast, and you're known as the vintage wedding planner. You'll be surprised. People from other parts of the country, other parts of the world may still contact you. If you've got information that you can provide to them that's not available elsewhere that they're willing to pay for, you can still leverage what you do. And this is just my response in dealing with weddings in a small area if you really want to do weddings, but there isn't enough of a need to support you, that's another avenue for you to look at. But business is business. If there isn't a need, then there's a problem. It doesn't make sense to set up that business. Okay? Athena's saying, don't only look for wedding blogs. You need to reach people outside the wedding industry. Absolutely. Latoya's saying, Debbie, I've spent time creating proposals, background on company, myself, pricing, services included, for two brides in the past 2 months who found me on Wedding Wire. I presented the proposal within 3 days after our phone consultation. I've heard nothing back from them, even after following up 2 weeks later. Should I call them? I seem to not get clients after sending a proposal, even after having an awesome consultation where I just know they're about to hire me. Latoya, that's a tricky one. And, you know, if there was a connection there, if after 2 weeks I haven't heard from them, I would probably leave that alone. And that's just me. I don't know where the disconnect is. When you say you present them with a proposal, meaning it's not a contract, you're saying, let me come up with something. Is it very detailed, do you think? Yeah, I don't know. And are they price shopping? It's hard for me to answer that one. It's really hard for me to answer. Very detailed, 8 pages. That could be it. That might be. Are you giving them so much information that they don't need you and they're taking that proposal and shopping you? Meaning taking that proposal and showing that with other, it gives the prices. Yeah. You see, I don't think you need to be the, if you've shared good information in an initial consultation, I don't know what level of service you're providing. You said it in your email. I think you're giving them way too, 8 pages. Wow. No, that's a lot. That's a lot. I would just give them a synopsis because, yeah, I wouldn't give an eight page proposal. Sounds like a wedding day management. Oh no, Latoya, that's too much. That's too much. See, if you've spoken to someone and explained what it is that they've told you what they want, and you've sort of, you know, given that information back to them, an 8 page proposal sounds like a lot of information. It's sort of like an overview. This is what I'm going to do. This is, an overview, not in detail. They don't need to know specific tasks, just an overall, you know, I'm going to be there on the day, this amount of hours, me and my staff, this is how many people, this is how many hours I'll do the rehearsal for. I'm going to contact your vendors, and you and I will meet at least 4 hours for a total of 4 hours before the wedding, split up into either 4 1-hour meetings or 2 2-hour meetings. And that's it. That's it. I think you may be just giving away way too much information. Yeah, definitely trim it down. Latoya, if you want to send it to me, I'll be happy to help you with that. But yeah, it sounds like a lot of information. And then when they become clients, you know, you give them a welcome pack and that can detail. And, you know, you can, when you give them, if you're giving someone 8 pages of documentation, I think that warrants you sitting down and explaining that documentation, going through it together. You know, and see what's, oh, you said you will, it's heavy on graphics. Yeah, Latoya, if you want to share, you know, I'd be happy to take a look. But that sounds like a lot of information. Yeah, a lot of work. Remember, you haven't been hired yet. And even though it may be boilerplate, meaning you're just using a template, to give someone 8 pages of information and then walk away, that's a lot of work. And sometimes, have you ever received an email where there are so many paragraphs that you don't want to read the email and you come back to it? It could be something like that. Whereas if it's just all very, you know, and the more money people spend, usually it's the more information that has to justify that amount. Wedding day planning, wedding day coordination is usually one of the least expensive packages you'll provide to someone as a wedding planner. So it needs the least amount of explanation. If it's full service and you're charging them $20,000, then you may need to provide an 8-page proposal. Not for day off. I wouldn't do that. So you're saying no proposal just for the... No. The process is someone comes, they contact you, you meet with them, Irene, you sit down, they explain what they're looking for, you ask them some questions and some fact-finding questions, what information they've done and, you know, how far out from the wedding and so forth. And then based on that, you say, okay, our day of package is this package right here. I think this works well for you. And sometimes they may sign on the spot. Day of, a lot of times they'll do it on the spot. But if not, then if you've got standard packages, there's no proposal. This is it right here, you know, and you hand that to them. If you want to go back and day of is different, you know, full service, you may have to go back and do some more homework. Day of, usually it is what it is. This is it. If you've got different levels of day of, then you give them different levels of the day of, A, B, and C. And you hand them that and let them know. I think it was Natalie Bradley that does it this way, that you set a date and say, okay, today's Saturday. Let's schedule a time for us to follow up. And what it is, you tell them, you give them a date. On Thursday, you give me a call. Or let me know, or 2 p.m. and I'll be looking to hear from you, or an email or whatever, 2 p.m. And then you put that down, you solidify that date. They then are now, the ball is in their court. They now have to reach out to you on Thursday at 2 p.m. If that, or whatever you schedule, if you don't hear from them Thursday, maybe on Friday you'll say, didn't hear from you, hope all's well, let me know if you're interested, and that's it. If they're on my email list, they'll get my newsletter. That's it. That's it. Because we've done the communication. They've met with me. They said they like me. They may have to go back and talk to their other half to get some more information, or they have a couple of other wedding planners they want to meet with. That's great. They should do that. But then once they've gone past that stage and I've given them this is the information, and this is just an overview. It's not a detailed listing. I'm going to do this, this, this. It's not a list of all my tasks. It's a good overview. For that day of, and then they contact me, and then I'll follow up with them once, and if not, then that's it. What I might do again is, knowing that I, you know, if I know the wedding date is sometime in July and I haven't heard from them, and then I, Debbie, decide to do a promotion, like, you know, anyone who books their day off package before the end of the week gets $100 off or something, I'll send them that promotion. But it's not just for them, it's for anyone who's in the pipeline, any prospects. Or sometimes your brides want to know that information. They may know someone who's getting married. That might be the catalyst for them. And send out that blast, that email blast. That's why it's important to have them on your email list anyway. And then that's it. You don't have to be the person that's always chasing clients. You don't have to be that individual. So they can then decide, because when you chase them down and they come on board, usually the relationship is a little off keel. I found it that way. And you're running a business. Someone, if you've provided them with sufficient information, not overwhelm of information, but sufficient information, and they like you, they'll contact you. You don't just stay away, but you let them follow up with you. You don't hear from them. Follow up with them once, and then maybe a second time if I'm having a promotion. That's it. We're done. So, yeah, that, I don't know if that helps. Okay, I think that was it. I had another email from someone else. I'm sorry, it was a very long email, and that's what I'm saying. Sometimes I'll see your emails, and if it's a long one, I'll have to come back to it. And that's the same thing. That's what we do in real life. We see an email, and we see communication, and we decide, okay, I don't know if I can process this all now at this point. LaToya is saying in her, I guess this is her proposal, she gets cover page, the wedding details, intro, congrats page, bio on me, top five reasons, to hire a wedding day coordinator, 2 pages on services included, pages on price, and a page on additional services. That sounds like almost like a wedding idea kit of some sort. See, the top 5 reasons to hire a wedding day coordinator, 2 pages on services. When I take a look at that, I can maybe give you an idea, but I would pull some of that information out and maybe just hand that to them as they're there. You can give them your bio, you can give them the top 5 reasons to hire a wedding day coordinator, you can give them that during the meeting. And then the only thing you have to give them is this short 2-page proposal, your proposal letter of agreement, I guess is what you're saying. Okay. All right. Okay, Dana's saying, I send a questionnaire beforehand because most of the time they say they need one thing when in fact you've uncovered more and you can quote accordingly. Also, the questionnaire allows you to have a great consult with them because you're catering to their specific needs, to what they filled out. Yeah, that's really a good idea too. That, you know, you've got to pre-screen people before the wedding, excuse me, before that consultation to make sure that, you know, that, and you can do this verbally, but it's good to have a document. And it could just be a page on your website that you can direct them to and say, okay, great. We're going to meet on Wednesday. When we meet, before we meet, though, I'd like you to take a look over, you know, just look over this information here and give you some information about, you know, the my company and some of the services we provide. So it's kind of like a primer. Is it primer? My old boss used to say primer, P-R-I-M-E-R, an introduction. How about that? It's an introduction to who you are as a wedding planner, stuff that you may not want to post on your website for everyone to see, but it's just a link that you don't advertise, but you send your clients to once they've booked a date with you. And giving them a questionnaire is good. You can just set something up in SurveyMonkey, but you don't want to overwhelm them with too many questions. You just need to ask some really good questions. For those of you on Wedding Business Guide, remember we did that when we did one of the live classes and we talked about the questions that you ask someone to find out if they're a good candidate for day of. You can refresh your memory with that because that will give you some of those questions that you should ask. So that you know, day of is tricky because you're taking over where someone left off. But sometimes the person that wants you to help them with the day of really is more than likely looking for someone to do full service planning. They're saying it's day of, but they're not organized. They're not really ready for you to take over the wedding. So there are some questions that you've got to, some fact-finding questions that you have to ask. Okay. Irene asks, I'm working on my promo kits to leave at venues for brides. What would you suggest I add to it? Whatever information you want to share, whatever information you want to share about who you are, that gives them the full story. I like to tell stories. I like to give them the real deal. I'm not always trying to be so polished, but just giving the need to know stuff. I met with a venue last week, and she asked me for some information, and I'll just give her so like a one pager sheet about who I am, some quotes as to some of the online things that I've done, and some of the vendors and venues that I've worked with, and I will ask them to What I will do, and I'm working on that, is to have people contact me to get free information. So it's either a page that you can't get until you email me. You give me your email, I'll give you the information. Or I may just have them text a word to a number, and that will have a link that will lead them to a page. I just need information. When you're planning someone's wedding, your currency is money. When they're not a client, the currency for me is email. So give me email and I'm going to give you this. I'm always promoting. I'm usually not promoting my services. I'm promoting something that I can give them, something that they can learn with no expectation that they're going to hire me. It's just good information that they can utilize. And it usually has a local angle. So anything that I'm leaving at a venue is on that level. It's not hire me, hire me, hire me. It's I'm a wedding planner, but by the way, here's some information I think you'll find helpful. Here are some great books that I think will be really, really, really great. Here are some great places to take pictures after the wedding ceremony because there are some really beautiful spots in this area that people may not be aware of. And here's how to find out, find out about them. So that's the kind of information I would tend to leave at venues. It's not, you don't want a whole bunch of information about, you know, these are my services, these are my packages. They'll get that information when they reach out to you. Just give them something. Give them something. And I know it seems weird. Give something that maybe other planners would charge for. Give them something for free. But in exchange for that, they've got to give you some contact information. It's good to know their wedding date. You want their email, you want their name, and you want their phone number. Those are the four things that I would say you have to get. And you can use that when you're meeting someone for the first time. You can use that same information at different venues and leave that in your proposal. But a lot of places are trying to be more green and cut down on the paper. So if you can give them the email, then you can send them all that information electronically and still get their contact. So a lot of different ways to do that. Nancy said, how many days is a good rule of setting a deadline for a bride and groom to get back to you after you send them a proposal? If I meet someone today, I'll give them information today, worst case tomorrow, but usually I'll send it to them the same day. But when we meet, we schedule the time for them to get back to me. And it's usually, you know, within the week that they'll get back. Or if they say they need more time, we agree on a date. So it's not a hard and fast rule, but usually within a week or so. And then I don't know if that question was directed at me, Nance, but you know, you kind of, the thing is, you've got to get out there and do and you'll see what works. So kind of like how I've already forgotten her name. Jesus Lord, sorry. Who's the young lady with the proposal, the 8-page proposal? That's your new nickname. Who's that? Okay, so like for her, when she's realizing that she's not getting feedback. So, and we're suggesting as a group, well, then maybe cut down the 8 pages to maybe 2 pages. And then she'll do that. So then moving forward, that's what she'll do. This is what I mean about setting up systems. You've got to, it's trial and error. You've got to figure out some things that you're going to do and see what works. You may try something and it's not as effective as you thought it would be, and then you try something else. You may realize 3 days is not enough time for people to get back to me, but 6 days, 5 days, 5 to 6 days seems to work. If I leave it longer than that, they tend to forget about me. So, you know, if you can sit down and agree together, today's Saturday, let's say Thursday, will that work for you? Will that be enough time for you to talk to your fiance? Yeah. Okay. So let's say Thursday at 3 p.m., you'll give me a call. Here's the number and we'll talk as to how you want to move forward. Either way, no pressure. Okay. And then that's it. Okay. All right. I think that's about it. Oh, LaToya, sorry. That's a short attention span. LaToya. LaToya 8-page proposal. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you said you're just too detailed. And sometimes that can be it. You know, I've learned to cut things back because I always used to think I need to give people information. I need to give people information. And that, when, like when I first started writing posts, they would be really long posts because I thought everyone needed that information. And I realized people don't need a whole lot of information. They just need to get the overview of what it is, how much it's going to cost, what the variables are. Like, you know, if I go over this much money, if I spend, you know, if it's 5 hours, but I go, if she's giving me this for giving me 5 hours for this amount, how much is it going to be if it happens to be 7 hours? I just need to know every, you know, those details as concisely worded as I can, and then take it from there. I get a lot of my ideas and inspiration, like when I go to the dealership and I see how they present information to me. I love going to the Apple store to see how they're doing things and how they're dealing with their customers and how they're presenting information. I mean, it took me a while to understand, no paper? What do you mean there's no paper? But they figured it out. I may have mentioned it before. The Apple Experience is a really good book, which sort of tells about how they, you know, work out the systems. If you've ever stayed at the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons, it's when you see that level of service and there's something that you like, you figure how you can incorporate it. I was at a hotel a few weeks ago trying to look for a room. No, and that's not why. We were having guests and I didn't want them to stay here. I shouldn't have said that. Oh my gosh. But yeah, anyway, I was making arrangements. And we went to this hotel and there was no front desk. It was just like this really little boutique area. And it was just different. And I said to the girl, well, how come there's no desk? She said, this is the desk. And it was weird. I can't remember which hotel it was. And I said to her, well, I'm trying to find out rates for next weekend. And she said, well, we don't provide the rates here. You've got to call the number. Call our main number because the rates fluctuate. I mean, it was just different. And, you know, maybe there's some way you can apply that. Maybe when someone calls, you don't give them the rates. The rates are not on the website, but they got to call a number to get the rates. Maybe you have a recording or something. So, you know, there are different things you can take from other industries and make them work for you. You get to decide. You know, you're kind of in control of that. All right. Okay. I think that's it. We kind of was a little all over the place today, but that's just how it is. Listen, if you have a question, I love hearing your voice because it's a great way for me to connect with you. The talkback line number is 202-681-2126. If you call that number and leave a message, it would be great to hear what it is you have to say. Feedback, comments, questions, you know, tips, ideas for a show, whatever. And then remember, on Tuesday at 7 p.m., I'll be hosting probably either Wedding CEO, which will be a topic about running your business, or Learn Weddings, which is about a topic for new and aspiring wedding planners. And I actually already had it listed out what we're going to talk about, but I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Tuesday, April 8th, we're engaged. It's sort of like engaged etiquette. What happens during the engagement, how that affects you as a planner, and how you can utilize, well, not so much as how you can utilize that for your business, but sort of, you know, announcement, you know, the announcements. What does being engaged really mean? You know, how do people, you know, do people still do this thing in the newspaper? How to handle that? Things like that. So we'll be covering that on April the 8th. Okay, well, I'm going to love you and leave you. And as always, lots of love and success. And I look forward to talking to you real soon. Go out there and make lots of money. Take care. Bye-bye.